So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Right here at MVM Radio. I am your host, Ed Springsteen. I tell you what, welcome to the show, the Ed Springsteen Show and many others right here on the MVM Radio Network, Sunday through Thursday at 7 p.m. I do have some good news for you guys. I talked with Dale Gillespie yesterday. Dale the Truth, as you know, usually co-hosts on Wednesday nights with me and has his own show on Thursday nights, TNT Thursday Night Truth with Dale the Truth. He's been out for the last several weeks taking care of some personal business and stuff. And anyway, he tells me he will be back August the 7th. So that's 2 weeks from today. We're expecting Dale to get back. And, you know, hopefully there won't be any changes in that. I'm looking forward to getting back myself. Yeah, I know. Thank you. Thank you. I know. Dale will be glad to hear you guys do that. He really will. He, Dale brings a unique brand. I know. Stop it. Dale brings a unique brand to the show. You know, and so we look forward to have him back. In the meantime, Rob Chapman did not do a show last Thursday night, from what I understand. He was detained at his job and had to work late. I was not informed of that in time to host the show for him. So anybody that tuned in on Thursday night that normally listens to our Wednesday night show, and I know there's a lot of you and I appreciate it, my apologies for that. Apparently there were some serious communication breakdowns on our end. And, you know, a man takes responsibility, and you know, I own this network, so it's my responsibility to bring you, you know, worthy content and worthy people. And we dropped the ball Thursday night. Rob could not get anywhere to send me a message to let me know. So it wasn't his fault, but it did leave you without a show. So I apologize for that fiasco from last week. And I assure you we're going to do everything we can to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. But that's not why you call here to listen to all that kind of stuff. The reason you come to this show is because you want to hear what's going on. Because nobody in radio tells you how it is, except us. That's right. In Louisville, we are the show to listen to. Thousands of you guys believe that. We can kill any Nielsen ratings on anybody if we decided to go on the air, on regular AM or FM radio. But we really enjoy this avenue. We've done really well at it. That may be something to look at down the road, but not right now. But thanks to you, we continue growing. The numbers continue getting better. And I tell you, the thousands of you guys who tune in are what make me realize that we are on the right path and have been. You know, Louisville Politics and Louisville News and the MVM Radio, we're all one brand here. We've done our best to investigate, incorporate, and get involved in the issues and the stories, and to make it easier for you to have some place to go to really get an idea of what's going on, not only in Louisville, but around the country as well. And we appreciate that. With that in mind, we've got a couple of local stories I really want to get into. Then we'll start getting into some of the national stuff. But I tell you, it was announced today that Mandy Connell, WHAS 84 radio personality, morning radio personality, Mandy Connell, has decided she's going to go to Denver, Colorado. She's going to the K-House radio station there, KHOW in Denver. That is Denver's number one radio show, by the way. It's also another Clear Channel station. So she's staying with the brand. She's just changing stations. And I'd like to know what you guys think about that. Because I tell you, what was really interesting when Mandy came to Louisville was Mandy came to Louisville because Francine, everybody knows Francine, if you've been around the Louisville market for any time at all, was the voice of Louisville with WHAS radio on the morning show. And Francine had an untimely death. So HAS 84 decided to open up and do these guest shows, if you will. They had a lot of people auditioning, so they would let different people do different shows. Said they wanted to try to hire somebody in the Louisville market to take over that morning program. Unfortunately, at that time, we weren't considered. I'm not sure we'll be considered this time either. But, they brought in Mandy from Florida, and Mandy brought her own unique brand of politics, if you will, to the Louisville market. But a lot of people don't think that she really touched that many people in Louisville because she wasn't from Louisville. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with WHAS radio this time around. But I've got to tell you, I have been on KHOW radio in Denver many times. Peter Boyles was the host there. Apparently there was something happened last month between Peter Boyles and his longtime producer, Greg Hollenbach. It ended up getting to be a physical confrontation, and Peter Boyles was terminated by Clear Channel, probably rightfully so. I mean, you know, if you're going to get to the point where you're attacking somebody physically, and you've worked with this guy for 20 years, you know, there may be something wrong there in your mindset. You really don't need to be working there. So they probably made the right decision to get rid of Peter Boyles at that point. I don't know. But I'm forever grateful to Peter Boyles because Peter Boyles brought me to the Denver market a long time ago, on more than one occasion. And, you know, thanks to him, including Louisville and the things that were going on here that were affecting Denver at the time, using me as his so-called expert, I guess, if you will, him and Greg were very gracious. And KHOW, their number one radio show in Denver, is a great place to listen to. I've got a lot of thanks to them. They sent me a lot of listeners that listen to this show right out of Denver. So for you Denver listeners, I think you're actually going to get somebody good. I think Mandy Connell will be a great fit for your market. But on to politics and stupidity, and I have to tell you this right now, folks. This is what I have dubbed Aqua Buddha Part 2. Now, for you guys who aren't familiar with what I mean by Aqua Buddha, Rand Paul ran an election against our Attorney General in Kentucky, Jack Conway, when he won the U.S. Senate seat, and he won it quite handily. During the election, Jack Conway had what we call an Aqua Buddha campaign against Rand Paul. It's so fascinating because essentially what it boiled down to was, you know, we had Rand Paul as a college student. It was just an old prank that he had done in school, apparently. So-called some kind of secret society connection. We don't even know all the details on it. But anyway, Jack Conway decided to sink as far into the gutter as he could to try to nail Rand Paul with what was clearly a college prank, if you will, that was dubbed Aqua Buddha. Well, that's how stupid Jack Conway is. He actually thought something like that was going to stick and cost Rand Paul the election. But no, it didn't, because people aren't that stupid. Well, now he's went to Aqua Buddha Part 2. And Aqua Buddha Part 2 has to do with this. According to the TimesDispatch.com, and please go there and read this story yourself. I don't make anything up. I give you sources. But John Roseman is a family psychologist who writes the longest-running advice column by a single author in the United States. This guy has been around for a long time. He's a psychologist, a family psychologist, who writes advice columns that appears in more than 200 papers, one of which is right here in Kentucky, the Lexington Herald Leader. Attorney General Jack Conway, who has so many things that he should be investigating, corrupt politicians that he should be filing charges on, like his good friend and financial contributor Jim King and a whole host of others, is not satisfied with spending our resources and his time, our tax money resources now, doing things the right way. No, what he has decided to do is Jack Conway has worked with the Kentucky Board of Examiners of Psychology and are bringing charges up against John Roseman, trying to get his column to disappear in Kentucky. He says that Roseman's column is an illegal practice of psychology since John Roseman is a family psychologist, but he's licensed as a psychologist in North Carolina and not licensed here in Kentucky. So because he's not licensed here in Kentucky, Jack Conway and the Board of Psychology has decided to threaten legal action and go after Roseman for a year in jail and a $1,000 fine for every column that he has written that's shown up here. I've got to be honest with you, folks. I don't know how much more stupid you can get. This has got to be Aqua Buddha Part 2. This has to be another defining moment that just goes to show you how pathetic our Attorney General Jack Conway is. If Jack Conway wants to go after John Roseman because he happens to write a column, and John Roseman writes this article, it doesn't mean that he has a right to just put it anywhere he wants to. No, they're not threatening the Lexington Herald Leader, at least not yet. They're not threatening the Lexington Herald Leader for paying this guy for his column, for the rights to his column to appear in their paper. No, they're threatening John Roseman, telling him that he's committing a crime because he writes an advice column and he happens to be a psychologist who's not licensed in Kentucky. I've got news for you. I really, you know, if you guys want to call in, by the way, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. And my apologies to you guys listening in a listening queue, and there's always dozens of you. I appreciate it. But make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad so I know to get you on air. No, the problem with this is, where does it stop? We can't have Dr. Phil on TV anywhere outside of the state that he's licensed to practice in. We can't have Dr. Phil. We certainly can't have Dr. Oz. We can't have, you know, anybody. Take Dear Ann or Annie's Mailbox, the two people who took over for Dear Ann. That's an advice column. They can't appear anywhere. They're not licensed at all. So who are they to give advice to anybody? Since when in the hell did Jack Conway's job become to target, he is targeting people for First Amendment and free speech rights? Now, I give advice all the time on this show. I tell people what I think, and I give you my advice. That doesn't mean you have to listen to it. It's a choice you make. But I'm entitled to my opinion, and I'm entitled to state what I think and state what I believe is the right thing to do. We're all entitled to that. That's why this network is called MVM. MVM stands for My View Matters. Not mine as in Ed Springsteen, but if your name is John, look in the mirror and say, my view matters, John. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, self-empowerment. Who in the hell do these damn Democrat libtards think that they are? You've got Governor Steve Beshear out there right now in Kentucky committing every illegal act in the world, trying to enforce these health care exchanges in Kentucky. David Adams, by the way, has done one hell of a job trying to keep Steve Beshear accountable, but the Kentucky Bar Association and the legal community won't touch it because he happens to be governor. Since when is the governor above the law? I don't know. But here's a guy who happens to write a column that shows up in 200 papers the papers pay him for, and our psychology board wants to get rid of him. What are they scared about? Are the psychologists so bad in Kentucky that this guy is actually telling people the real deal, and they're so bad in Kentucky that they ain't got a clue? I mean, you talk about somebody that probably needs a shrink. I think the Kentucky Board of Psychology and Jack Conway are the ones who need a shrink after this stuff. I mean, this really is pathetic. I don't know any other way to put it. You know, so this is very, very interesting. You know, we've got to pay attention to this, but come on, folks. Come on. I mean, Eva Markham, she's the chairman of the psychology board. When she was asked by CBS this morning about it, she said that she was fascinated that this has turned into a First Amendment right. How in the hell was this anything but a First Amendment right? I mean, this is incredible. This is incredible. You know, I just don't get what the intent is here or what Jack Conway is up to here, because this makes no sense to me whatsoever to make this an issue. But, hey, you know what? These guys have done stupider things, so I guess we'll just have to see how it goes going forward. But I think it's pretty clear that we've got a problem. And I tell you, you know, when you get into stupid government tricks, here's some more. Everybody may remember the name of a young man, Jared Markham, 14 years old, an eighth grader in West Virginia. In Logan County, West Virginia, Jared Markham wore an NRA support shirt to school. He was arrested. They tried to charge him with obstruction. He was going to get up to a year in jail, $500 fine, everything else. And I'm very familiar with the bogus charge of obstruction that these asinine, illegal, wannabe cop thugs, and they are, because if they knew the law, they'd enforce the shit instead of making up their own as they go along. But I'm very clear about that. They tried to nail me with the fake charge, too, back in July, and it finally got dismissed a month ago. But when we look at this, though, Jared Markham wore an NRA support shirt to school. He was arrested and suspended after he refused to remove it. There was no reason to remove it. There was nothing. The school district's policy did not prohibit the shirt that he wore. As a matter of fact, the day that Markham returned to school from his suspension, he actually wore that same shirt the day he returned. He didn't get suspended again, didn't get rearrested. Okay? And the shirt just basically had a hunting rifle on the front of it, and it said, "Protect your right." So he's standing up for gun rights. What was fascinating is the arresting officer, James Atkins, now this is how stupid these asinine cops are that keep wanting to use this obstruction label on everything. He said that the criminal obstruction occurred because he couldn't get Markham to stop talking. A 14-year-old kid who's being jacked up for no reason is talking, and you can't get him to shut up, so you arrest him? Are you serious? So, since his arrest, the local police station, according to their chief, E.K. Harper, he said their phone calls were unreal. They continue to get dozens and dozens of phone calls every day from everybody. They're getting rashes of complaints, threats, and everything. They should have. Well, lo and behold, it took 70 days from the date of this arrest, but they finally dismissed the charges. The charges were finally dismissed against him. Judge Eric Bryant signed the order to dismiss. So you would think all this would go away. It is, until Markham decides he's going to go ahead and file a civil suit, which he will and which he should. Him and his family deserve to be compensated for that. Now, why is this back on the radar? Well, I tell you what's back on the radar. Because there's a news story going out now concerning the police in Logan County. Or, I'm sorry, a couple of counties over from Logan County. Jared Markham was arrested even though there was no dress code or policy in place that told him that what he was wearing was illegal. So he committed no crime and was arrested because of his dress, because of the shirt he was wearing. Well, in Lewis County, West Virginia, the Lewis County Board of Education voted Monday night and decided to put together a dress code for their teachers. Not their students, their teachers. The local Board of Education decided they were going to prohibit their teachers from wearing blue jeans, faded jeans, and shorts to work. Now, you would think that's not a big deal. As a matter of fact, when I went to school, you didn't see teachers wearing shorts and blue jeans and faded jeans in class. They didn't set that example. But apparently in Lewis County, that seems to be a problem. So board member Paul DiRico suggested that residents weren't happy with the way teachers have been looking in their classrooms because of the way they dress. So he decided to go after a ban. They got the ban, and the teachers were upset. The teachers are saying the guy's full of crap, according to DiRico. He's had a lot of comments personally, and the comments he's getting back say that the people are telling him that they're glad that they're doing something about the way the teachers dress. I've got no problem with a dress code for teachers. I'll tell you that right now. When you go to any school in Jefferson County, there's typically some sort of a dress code at every school. The Jefferson County school system requires it. If the students are required to maintain a standard in classroom, then those that teach them and those that they're supposed to look up to for guidance and those that are supposed to lead them and set the example should have standards as well. I've got no problem with these teachers being told that they can't wear blue jeans, shorts, and faded jeans to class. You want to be consistent. This is a great way to do that. Unfortunately, not everything is always that easy, because apparently a lot of the teachers are pretty angry and upset and unhappy. One of the teachers, Carmen Schaefer, went on a record and said that she's very disappointed. I think I give 200% of myself for this county, and I don't feel like they've given me any respect back. They said they're doing this to protect us from the few people that didn't follow the dress code. As far as I'm concerned, and from my understanding, blue jeans was never involved in that. So I don't understand why they're taking away the blue jeans. Does that sound familiar? This is a teacher whining and crying because she's being held accountable to a standard that schools all across this country are forcing on their students. These government indoctrination camps we call public schools are forcing our kids into this dress code standard. And now that the teachers are being subject to it, because the teachers and the PTAs are the ones who make these decisions for the kids, let's do it for the kids. It's the right thing to do. Now, they don't want to be held accountable to the same standards that they're trying to enforce on the children, so they're whining like the children. Carmen Schaefer sounds to me like a whiny-ass titty baby. I'm sorry. It's the truth. It's the truth. And you know, this again, I'm getting ready to get to a point of contention for a lot of people, but the union is getting involved now. The American Federation of Teachers, an attorney for the American Federation of Teachers, Jeff Blades, said that the union is contemplating suing so that the public school teachers will have the right to wear shorts and faded jeans if they want to. We're disappointed in the actions of the board. We don't believe it's in the best interest of the teachers of Lewis County. We think it's inconsistent with their statutory and constitutional rights. We're going to explore all of our legal actions when we get back and take the next steps. The American Federation of Teachers, you're a joke. You are a joke. Jeff Blades, their attorney, you're a joke. You're the first damn ones to sit out there and try to put these rules of behavior, try to put these rules of clothing and all this other crap. You want to put the school policy in place. You want to agree, you American Federation of Teachers, in keeping students accountable to a dress code. But as soon as you're required to be accountable, based on the leadership position you're in, you want to be a whiny-ass titty baby. Sorry. You're a bunch of hypocritical jokes, in my opinion. And the fact that they continue thinking that the unions have all this power, or the unions should have all this power, this should be one more example of why union leadership is failing union membership today. It really is. They want the best of both worlds, anything and everything for themselves with no responsibility for their actions. If I tell my kids they can't go out looking like this at some certain point where they're going out and doing anything, you can't go out looking like that because it's not acceptable, I damn sure am not going to go out looking like I'm telling them not to, because it's not acceptable. What's good for me is good for them. What's good for them is good for me. I am their role model, or I'm supposed to be. I am the position of authority. That doesn't matter whether I'm the parent, whether I'm the teacher, whether I'm Uncle Joe. If you've got the responsibility of a child in your hands for any given time at all, you are the role model. and the American Federation of Teachers Union and these asinine, whiny-ass, titty-baby teacher criers like Carmen Schaefer don't need to be around our kids. They're not teaching them responsibility. They're teaching them to whine and cry to get what you want because they don't want the rules to apply to them that they make apply to the children. It's that simple. We're going to take a bottom of the hour break. When we get back, we're going to get into a little bit of national stuff beyond that. We're going to get into a little bit of Anthony Weiner. Obama decided today to get into stupidity by opening his mouth, which is nothing uncommon for anybody. And, you know, we're going to get into some of the different things that are going on around the country. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You listen to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Oh, being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And there you have it. That's thanks to our good friend Dale Gillespie. That's part of his stuff there, the I want the truth. And, you know, we all want the truth. And the truth is America is going downhill It's like we're on steroids to the bottom. I kid you not. You know, it is unbelievable to me how pathetic people really are that are in so-called leadership positions. Everything from arresting a 14-year-old kid for wearing a damn shirt that didn't have anything to do with anything. Then the teachers are whining because they're forced into the same standards they want to force on the kids. Then we've got this idiot Anthony Weiner, continues taking naked pictures of his junk and putting it online. If you remember, Weiner retired from Congress in 2011 because he got caught. His wife is Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's best friend and probable gay lover. Yes, I said it. You know, you wonder why she don't care what Anthony Weiner's doing? Because she don't want nothing to do with his Weiner. If she was taking care of her business, maybe he wouldn't be online playing around like he is. But this dummy went on TV crying and whining back in 2011 about needing forgiveness, resigned his spot in the Congress, you know, wanted forgiveness, wanted to work on his marriage. That lasted a long time. He just got caught again in a six-month deal doing the online porn crap all over again. Now, listen, folks, if you want to do some sexting, you want to do that kind of thing, you want to share pictures with somebody, you know what? That's your personal choice. Go ahead. I'm not telling you that I want to run your life and keep you from doing this, but I'm telling you that when you want to run for Congress and you want to do this crap, you're going to go out publicly, humiliate everybody in your family by getting caught doing it. You want to go out publicly, apologize, and beg for forgiveness. I keep thinking of Jim Baker and Jessica Hahn every time I hear this kind of crap. I want everybody to forgive me. I did wrong in the eyes of God to my family. Spare me. But then this dumbass gets caught again doing the same thing through November 2012. And his wife, Huma Abedin, is standing by him. Once again, well, I've come a long way and took a whole lot of work and a whole lot of therapy to get to a place where I could forgive Anthony. Spare me. Abedin don't care about Anthony Weiner. That was a political marriage. Huma Abedin is in the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't think there's any other way to say that. I don't think anybody else can say she's not. Hillary Clinton clearly is sympathetic to that, as well as Barack Obama. I mean, the whole libtard conspiracy is involved in this. Huma Abedin is in a whole mess of trouble of her own right now for failure to disclose on federal forms. She got caught doing this back at the end of May. Now Anthony Weiner gets caught doing this again. This is nothing but a sham marriage. It's always been a sham marriage. And for you liberals out there who are going to give Huma Abedin credit for standing by her man, remember, Huma Abedin is probably the man in the Hillary Clinton deal. I don't know which one is. But in my opinion, they're both lesbian lovers, and it's not a big deal if you want to live your life that way. But I'm tired, sick and tired, of the libtards falling for the stupid apologies and the garbage just to get a damn vote, because that's exactly what's going on here. Anthony Weiner wants to run for mayor of New York. He had a commendable lead, and now he got caught again after, not during the time that was before. This isn't old news. This is new news, as much as they would like to tell us differently. And now he wants us to forgive him and vote for him again. If the people of New York do that, they're nuts. Let New York secede from the union. Let California secede from the union. Let them take responsibility for their own libtard mistakes and their own libtard financials and everything else. Give it to them. The people of California, you're now on your own. The people of New York, you're now on your own. Hell, throw Connecticut and Massachusetts in there. Let these liberal states stand on their own. Let them secede from the union. And then let's see what happens. See how long they can sustain themselves. They can't. And I tell you why. Because this libtard confusion, if you think liberalism works, you're a nut. We've got Detroit. We've got Alabama. We've got California. We've got all of these cities going nuts and going broke because of failed leadership and liberal policies. So what does Barack Obama do? It's not bad enough that Barack Obama and his White House, including Valerie Jarrett, the Muslim Brotherhood lover, Eric Holder, the biggest racist I've ever seen in a legal authority in the United States, It's not bad enough. These guys are doing everything in the world they can to destroy America, and Barack Obama's letting them do it. You know, he's gotten a free pass from the press and all of this stuff. He's gotten a free pass. Nobody has ever vetted Barack Obama the way that they have everybody else that's ever run. Barack Obama is the chosen one by the liberal mainstream press and a whole host of others. So what does he do? Today he decides to go out and attack the media. Wait a minute. What do you mean attack the media? He blames the media for doing what he says, taking their eye off the economic ball. I'm not kidding you. This guy, who has gotten everything handed to him on a silver platter by the media, has got caught illegally checking out media wiretaps and everything else, gave a campaign speech at Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois today. A campaign-style speech, folks. He's not running for office, but that's all he knows how to do is campaign. He said that America, during his presidency, has fought its way back from the recession. And he is calling on the voters to pressure Congress to invest on our future by spending more money on education, clean energy, and infrastructure. Go to WashingtonTimes.com for this story, folks. I'm not kidding you. We know that clean energy is a joke. We know that clean energy is a joke. We know that global warming is a joke. We know that he doesn't care about infrastructure, because what's really fascinating is he says this today there, and then he goes on record, being quoted as saying that, our bridges, we have 100,000 bridges that need to be replaced and everything else, but then he wants to give illegal financial aid to Egypt. So don't tell me we need to spend more money on infrastructure when you're spending more money empowering the Muslims and everything else rather than spending that money right here at home where it needs to be spent. Now, I'm sorry if that offends some people, but not really, because it offends me every time I think of this president going down that road. But he goes on to blame the media for taking their eye off the economic ball, because all they continue doing is sitting here and talking about Obamacare and stuff like that so that people aren't really paying attention to what's going on economically. He said that if the Republicans resist his plans, that our social fabric will begin to fray as resentment builds among lower economic groups. That's what he said. He said we will erode further, inequality will continue to increase, money's power will distort our politics even more, social tensions will rise as various groups fight to hold on to what they have, and they will start blaming somebody else for why their position isn't improving. That's not the America we know. I'm sorry, folks.
You all whine too much, and the coffee's bad. I tell you what you need to do. You need to take a 13th step down off your high horse. You all whine too much, and the coffee's bad. I tell you what you need to do. You need to take a 13th step down off your high horse.
I had to play it twice. I don't know what world this president lives in. I have no clue. But he doesn't live in the American world. Social tensions have already risen. The middle class continues to erode and will continue that way under these liberal policies. Every month since President Obama was elected and took office back in 2008, for 55 or 56 months now, unemployment has been above 7.5%. It's the longest time in our history. He's had the power. He's had the opportunity to fix these things. But instead, he has used that power and opportunity to circumvent the Constitution. He does that by allowing criminals not to be prosecuted by his Department of Justice. He does that by issuing executive orders whenever he wants his way instead of letting Congress do their job and holding them accountable for their vote. I mean, who's out there trying to sell Obamacare? If he wants to use that as an example, Obama himself. When he talks about taking your eye off the economic ball and spending all of your time with the media going out there, and I find myself in a rare position right now. I'm actually defending the media in this because the media has been in his corner. The media is the problem, on that much we'll agree. But for this president to sit here and blame the media – for taking their eye off the economic ball and spending their time on other stuff that's affecting social tensions. Mr. President, I've got to ask you, was that your twin brother that was out there talking about Trayvon Martin and making a national deal, trying to turn this tragic shooting into a racist-filled line of BS to the American people? Was that your twin brother, or was that you who said that Trayvon Martin could be your son? You were the one that went to mainstream media and created that division. At the same time, everything with Obamacare, Benghazi, and everything else was going on. It was coming to the forefront. You needed to dodge and deflect. You did that by making Trayvon your mission and your issue. And this idiotic, sheeple mainstream press, who want nothing more than a socialistic America, let you do it. But you've got enough guts to tell the press that they dropped their eye on the economic ball by spending their time on this kind of stuff. They did what you told them to do, but nobody wants to hold you accountable to that. We will. We will. That is so funny, I can't even get over it. You know, and the idiots in Illinois stopped to applaud the guy. You know, stopped to applaud the guy. So all he's trying to do right now is try to help the 2014 Democratic elections. I understand that's his job, but really, if mainstream media is going to be attacked like that, why don't they attack back and hold this guy accountable? Because mainstream media is part of the problem too. They put their butts on the line to get him elected. They put their butts on the line to keep him there. And they don't want to go back and say, hey, we were wrong. It's hard for somebody to say they were wrong or made a mistake. But not really. I did it at the top of this show when I told you about last Thursday's show. I take responsibility for that. I own this show. I own that problem. Obama owns this problem. And Obama must be held accountable to it. But nobody will. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I tell you another story that Obama owns. And this one probably won't surprise a lot of you guys as much as it surprised me. But let's get into the whole gay debate. And I tell you why. I have often said on this show that I've got no problem with the gays being treated equally. I don't care who you sleep with. That's your business. But in that context, I've always considered that context as being of consenting age adults. We have another story coming out today, ClashDaily.com. You guys need to check this out. Pedophiles. Yep, you guessed it. Pedophiles have started adopting the gay rights agenda and the activists and the tactics that those folks have used. Pedophiles have begun to seek status that gives them exemption for law by saying that their desire for children is a sexual orientation that's no different than heterosexual or homosexuals. Now, many within the homosexual community will sit out there and tell you they were born this way. It's not their fault, and they should be allowed to be who they are. We now know in the last couple of weeks, which is really starting to come on board too, we know of camps across the country where children are sent. Boys as young as 5 and 6 years old are sent to these camps to dress like girls because they identify as transgender. How can you identify as transgender at 5 years old? We've got a lesbian couple who has got their child on medication to keep them from going through puberty, changing their hormonal balance because they said this child is identified as a transgender since they were 3 or 4 years old. Now we have these camps set up all over the damn place by the gay agenda. I very much am opposed to that. I cannot fathom for the life of me how anyone in our society can tell anybody that a child 3 or 4 years old or before puberty or anything else has decided that they're going to be one way or the other. Now, in a particular case of a lesbian couple I mentioned, their child happens to be a boy. So you've got two lesbians who identify as lesbians raising a boy, decided they want to have a girl. Well, this boy doesn't know any better. He's never had a man in his influence in his life. He doesn't know what that life looks like. He doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a man in his life. So how would he know he's transgendered? He doesn't know what it's like to be a man. He hasn't reached puberty yet to make that decision. How do we know this at 2, 3, and 4 years old? So a lot of people in the gay community today say that they were born this way. Been like this since birth. We were born this way. Okay. Well, if you were born this way, and you're a protected class now, can we really say that the people who the pedophiles out there don't have the same problem? Can we sit here and honestly say that a pedophile wasn't born a pedophile? That it wasn't a choice to do this? Pedophilia has already been granted protected status by the federal government. You guys didn't know that. I didn't either till today. But essentially, here's how it works. The Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act lists sexual orientation as a protected class, but it does not define what sexual orientation consists of. But see, this is where the libtard philosophy comes in. The Republicans actually attempted to add an amendment to that to specify that pedophilia is not covered as an orientation. They wanted to make sure that pedophiles weren't protected under federal law due to sexual orientation so that they could be held accountable for raping babies and small children. The Democrats said no. Representative Alcee Hastings out of Florida, Democrat, said that all alternative sexual lifestyles should be protected under the law. And said that this bill addresses our resolve to end violence based on prejudice and to guarantee that all Americans, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, blah, 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 or all of these philias and fetishes, need not live in fear because of who they are. Are you kidding me? And nobody sees anything wrong with this. Nobody sees anything wrong with this. How can this be? In 1998, the APA actually issued a report that said that the negative potential of adult sex with children was overstated, and that the vast majority of both men and women reported no negative sexual effects from childhood sexual abuse experiences. That sure defies all logic as we know it, doesn't it? How many people have we seen or heard about who are raped as children who have a severe problem today dealing with the world? They don't trust men. And for the boys who were raped, they don't trust anybody either. You know, their lives were totally ruined and totally changed forever at the moment of rape. But this is what the gay agenda has gotten us. So I've got to be honest with you. As much as I think that consenting gay adults have rights, If the libtards out there are going to go down this road and make pedophilia a right, a protected class under federal law, we've already lost America, in my opinion. I don't know any other way to put it. It is alarming to me that we have not woke up to this. It's alarming to me. And once again, mainstream media won't even touch this. We had to go to an alternate source called ClashDaily.com to find this because mainstream wants nothing to do with it because it doesn't fit the liberal gay agenda. You want to talk to me about gay rights and gay marriage and everything else, fair enough. But when you talk to me about adults raping children, because that's exactly what pedophilia is, then I've got a problem. The Democrats continue sitting out there, and the libtards continue following it, telling the whole world that they have the answers. They want to protect our children. Everything that they do harms our children. Now, I try to take the middle as much as I possibly can on issues. I've been critical of Republicans on several occasions. And tonight you've heard me bash Democrats and libtards. And it's because of this kind of asinine thinking and these kind of asinine things being done. It should scare the hell out of every one of us that our elected leaders actually think that this is okay. This is okay. It's garbage. You should be concerned. You really should. And I want to get into one little bit thing here. Detroit. We have not spent the amount of time tonight that I really wanted to, or this week actually, that I've wanted to on a Detroit bankruptcy. And we will. We'll get to it. There's so many things that are still going on and coming out every day that when we finally reach Detroit, I really want to get into the bigger picture and everything else. But, you know, if you think liberalism works, Detroit is a great example of why it doesn't. And here's one more example of why Detroit is bankrupt, and you're going to love this. MichiganCapitalConfidential.com. MichiganCapitalConfidential.com. Again, alternate news source. This story just came from there. But the Department of Water and Sewer in Detroit, we're very familiar with that kind of stuff here, right? Our own MSD is about as crooked as it gets. But the Department of Water and Sewer is actually government there. Here it's this quasi-government thing. It's government when it's convenient for them, but private when it's not. How that works, we still ain't got a clue. But because Detroit Water and Sewer Department is a government entity, and they have a large debt just like we do, their water prices are going through the roof. They're not getting services the way they're supposed to. And they're using twice the number of employees per gallon of water that flows through there as other cities like Chicago. So these guys are having all kinds of problems. An independent audit or an independent report about the DWSD recommended that Detroit trim more than 80% of Detroit Water and Sewage Department workforce. They said they were unnecessary. 80%. 4 out of 5 people are unnecessary. Could you imagine a report like that? Well, once again, your unions get involved. John Real, the president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 207, which represents a lot of those DWSD employees, told the Detroit Free Press that that's a lie, that they don't need to get rid of 80% of the workforce, that in fact the DWSD needs more workers. They don't have enough. They don't have enough. So you're sitting here thinking, well, who's right, who's wrong? Well, I tell you, based on my experience and based on some of the reports coming out, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that they could get rid of 80% of the water department as one example and save a ton of money. And that would help Detroit if they would open their eyes and get rid of the baggage. And I back that up because of this. MichiganCapitalConfidential.com. They put a neat little story out based on an open records request that they did that tells it, that gives us a good example of what's wrong with Detroit. Despite having no horses working at a Department of Water and Sewage Department in Detroit, Detroit actually employs a horseshoer. They actually employ a horseshoer, and they have no horses. This department is so bloated that an independent report says that they should get rid of 80% of the people. The union president says they need to hire more people. You know, but the union president also goes on and says that it's not possible to eliminate positions, which is a joke, union rules essentially have turned that department, which is one example of every other department throughout government, not just in Detroit, but here as well, into a government jobs program. We know that elected officials in Detroit, Michigan, are under indictment, facing criminal charges for kickbacks, bribery, you name it, all of which led to the downfall of Detroit, every one of them, Democrats, leaders. We've got a union here who is trying to say that a horseshoer's job cannot be eliminated. Some elected politician made this job relevant for votes. In this particular case, the guy that got the job, all right, said, you know, the employee was transferred from the Detroit Police Department 5 years ago. 5 years ago, the Detroit Police Department was cutting back. Detroit doesn't have nearly enough officers on the street. It takes over an hour to make a call right now in an emergency because they were cutting back, trying to save money, right? This particular employee who was moved over to the DWSD worked for the police department 5 years ago. The police department has horses. Okay, this guy working there as a horseshoer made sense. But they switched him to the DWSD as a horseshoer, but he no longer works with any animals or does any work. They pay him $29,245 a year in salary, and they pay benefits equal to $27,000 for this one employee who has no job because a Democrat wanted to keep his job and needed the union backing to do it. Guys, I honestly am speechless about that. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. This is incredible to me. It's really fascinating. It really is. And the union says Detroit doesn't have any baggage. They need more union workers. Well, I would expect that line of garbage sometime. But come on, there comes a point in time where even a union has to admit common sense and good judgment has to come into play. And I don't think the rank and file would have any problem with leadership doing that. As a matter of fact, based on my union experience in Louisville, a lot of rank and file would love it if the union leadership would actually be honest instead of lying. So who knows? Who knows? I guess we'll find out someday. In the meantime, that's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Rob Chapman should be here taking care of Louisville issues, talking to you and giving you all the updates. Barbara Shanklin case is still going on. We'll try to get those updates to you at LouisvillePolitics.com, hopefully tomorrow. And don't forget our good friend Ken Mowen over at Liberty Unbridled, Sunday night at 7 o'clock. He will be here with his own unique brand of Liberty issues. So we look forward to hearing from you then. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. And don't worry, man. It gets better. It gets better. We'll keep you informed. All you got to do is listen in. That's it. Take care. We'll see you.